It's your boy, Blake.
And this is Brian.
And this is not your boy, Drew, apparently.
And you're listening to Lock, Stock, and Three Smoking Controllers, a co-op endeavor.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 125 of whatever your boy has brought to you today. You can find us
120 episodes, and Blake never said this is your boy.
But now, all of a sudden, 125, when he knows I'm not used to doing it, and we're your boys. You can find us on all social media platforms just by searching the podcast name, and that podcast name is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers, if you're going to be searching for it. On all those things, you can keep track of the comings and goings of the podcast. And what we always call out the most are our Twitch streams, where the three of us get together and do the co-op endeavors and have a good time most of the time and end up frustrated half the time and delete games, sometimes while finishing them, sometimes without finishing them. Those Twitch streams, download it, play it, cancel it immediately. You can find us at twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers. To come and watch those. I would be remiss not to mention the Patreon page, where you can be a patron, and if you pay, then you can name an episode with a long and convoluted and sometimes entertaining name.
I could definitely appreciate some help with that.
There's also a store where you can buy some fantastic briefs and shirts and mouse pads and the like. Both of those support the cost to maintain the podcast and eventually will hopefully help me feed my family. But that's probably the road.
They don't eat right now.
Yeah, they don't need to eat. I mean, they got to have jobs too, right?
Yeah, one of them's old enough to be working.
Right. And links to all this stuff can be found in the show notes that Drew so wonderfully provides for us every episode.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing I do. I stop taking notes while I play video games, but I'll sure as hell put the show notes into the end of a podcast.
Especially when it links to something where we can make money. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Blake.
Did we announce it at the end of the last episode, didn't we? Did we not?
Did we forget to?
I think what you game? Did.
Did we? I don't remember. We tried to.
Anyway.
What we haven't done, Blake, is discuss before we recorded what game we're doing after this.
We will pause and discuss that at
another time.
Yeah. So the game we were discussing, it's not even our most recent, but it's the current one we're going to be talking about anyway, a co-op endeavor, is Monster Hunter Rise. Now, Monster Hunter Rise originally came out for the Switch specifically in March of 2021. It was since ported to everything else January of 23. They put it out on everything else. Well, that was the latest. I think there's some other stuff in between, but by January 23, it was available on everything else. Now, it is developed by a company that we have spoken about at length on several other occasions. It is a Capcom. We have spoken about them on episode 1 when we spoke about Monster Hunter World, episode 11 when we spoke about Onimusha, episode 54 when we did Monster Hunter Stories, and then episode 108 when we did the Resident Evil remaster. I don't think I missed anything, but it's possible that I did.
Yeah. You'd almost think that Capcom does a lot of stuff. That's weird.
They do a couple of things. Yes,
of all the, I think about a couple of times we mentioned of all the bad companies out there, and I don't know if they're like sacrificing children or anything behind closed doors, but Capcom in the past couple of months, I think it was a crazy number. They raised the salaries for their entire company across the board. It was like a 20%. It's like some crazy number, like the entire company. They just they're like, we're doing really well. Everybody gets more money. And Capcom's like, I said a bunch of time on the podcast past couple of years, people keep calling this the golden age of Capcom, even though Capcom's been popular for a long time.
They came out of a sketchy ass age.
Like the 360 PS3 years were kind of iffy for them, but now they've just been like knocking everything they put out. It's just like pure freaking gold.
I'd say it all started with one particular game, and then it just kind of went
from Operation there. Raccoon City.
No, oh, I was talking about the golden years.
Oh, yeah.
The golden era, rather.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll talk about Monster Hunter quite a bit, but World also. Monster Hunter has always been popular, but like World had brought it to a whole new level and stuff like that.
This came to a wider audience. World definitely went to a wider audience than the previous.
Well, for sure. It's the first one we played. Well, I played one back in the day on the Wii. It was terrible.
I want to go through this real quick, and I'm gonna go through and talk about the numbers. They have a tier list right here called the Platinum Titles. It's their top 10 most sold titles from Capcom. And I'll start at the bottom and I'll work my way up. The number 10 slot is actually belonging to Devil May Cry 5. It's selling 8.4 million copies. Capcom's a big thing, but their stuff's not raking in 100 million copies like Call of Duty. But so bear with me when I say their platinum tier.
I kind of thought DMC was more popular than that, though, honestly.
You'd think.
That's surprising.
But it says right here, number 9 is Resident Evil 3 at 9 million. Number 8, Resident Evil 6 at 9.2. Actually tied for sixth place is Resident Evil 5 and 6 at 9.2 million. Then we have a slightly larger uptick for Resident Evil Village at 10.10 million. And then there is an addendum here because Monster Hunter World Iceborne sold 13.4 million copies.
Okay, makes more sense.
And then we have Resident Evil 7. So sold 13.7, Resident Evil 2 sold 14.2, and now we're at numbers 1 and 2. Number 2 is Monster Hunter Rise at 15.4 million.
God.
And their number 2 most sold video game of all time,
number 1,
is Monster Hunter World at 20.5 million.
That's crazy. That's like...
I have an addendum down here that says unit sales including Monster Hunter World and Iceborne Master Edition combines to a 26.30 million.
That's a lot of Monster Hunter.
That's respectable.
Yeah. What'd we say what was the other game that not Capcom, but that It Takes Two has sold staggering numbers?
Sold 20 million copies. Yeah. It Takes Two.
I did not know It Takes Two had done that well. I love that game. We talked on the podcast, like it's literally the best co-op game we've ever played, but I did not know it had sold that well. And it's got Monster Hunter World numbers. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, like that's a lot. That's a lot for like people talk about. Oh, it's like Call of Duty sell like ridiculous, but that's because everybody, every jock in the world who wants to shoot a gun at his friend's going to buy a Call of Duty.
Yeah,
and the same ones buy the same ones over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat that, nobody even thinks about the GTA numbers.
There's oh God, yeah,
no
GTA.
Yeah, no, good gosh, no.
So it's really like. Even back on the 9, first of all, selling a million of anything.
Yeah.
Is any developer, well, except for Square.
Anything by Ubisoft would not be satisfied with me.
Ubisoft and like Square, who keeps complaining about their games underperforming,
just now
are not happy with a million. Anybody else, usually a million of anything is good.
At the lowest tier here of Devil May Cry 5 selling 8.4 million. You realize that's 8.4 million times 60. That is a boatload of money.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'll briefly talk about Capcom. It's Capcom. You know what they've done. Devil May Cry, Resident Evils, Mega Man, Capcom versus Marvel, Capcom, you know,
Street Fighters.
They have so much, you know, they have boatloads. They've been a company for 45 years. They were founded.
They're only 45.
They were founded.
I was thinking the same thing. I would have thought they were older.
May 30th, 1979. They're a 45 year old company.
And they're younger than Brian.
That's not true.
That's crazy. I thought they were a lot older than that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, everybody can't start out like Nintendo with what regular trading cards or whatever. I mean, Nintendo's freakishly old.
Yeah, they got into games way later. Yeah, because it's weird to think, because I guess Capcom, they didn't do it. So they started as a video game company in 79. So they would have, so they didn't really have, like you saw, like Nintendo was a bunch of other stuff before they were a video game company.
Yeah. Like printers and
I guess 1979 is a pretty good time to, that's actually a bad time to be in gaming, I think. When was the gaming crash? And
I think it was like 80s.
Was in the 80s somewhere?
That was like the mid 80s.
So they survived it though. So yeah. It just seems like they have such an impact. It seems like they've been around longer. I guess they've been around long enough.
Long enough, yeah.
Yeah. And they're still doing good stuff.
No, we say they haven't been around long. That's our whole lives.
Yeah. 45 years is more than my entire life.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it just me? Is it like somebody with a company of that size? You feel like they've been around.
Yeah. Well, they've been around forever. Because they've been around literally. You've heard about Capcom forever.
Yeah.
I'm not again. Not diving into everything. They do have 11 subsidiaries. Yeah. Two different divisions of development. Mm-hmm. And across, I don't know if this includes the subsidiaries, but I'm guessing it does because that's a large number. But the number of employees for Capcom as of 2024 is 3,531 employees.
It's a large
company. That's a little bigger than our little indie developers that have like 6 developers. Huh?
Yes.
It's all quite so, a bit. They instituted that 20% pay raise across their company,
the entire company.
Like, I would go to not be me listening. Google that. Don't trust me on that.
Yeah, number. Right.
It was, but to put a raise across the board for your company because you're doing so well is unheard of.
Oh yeah, especially right now in gaming industry. Everybody's getting fired right now. Yeah,
nobody else has done that. You know.
Yeah.
Microsoft bought a bunch of crap and they're closing companies like left and right, you know?
Yeah. Buying multiple companies that make video games and then going, oh no, there's redundancies. Nobody could have foreseen this.
I play a lot of Capcom games, I guess. I kind of wish I was a bigger fan of Capcom. You know what I mean? That makes sense. Like I play a lot of their games. I can't wait for the new Capcom game to come out.
We're super excited for Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah, I still want to play Dragon's Dogma 2.
It's a good time.
I think that director quit Capcom. Like it took him 10 years to make his sequel.
I played a lot of Devil May Cry back in the day.
I've played all of them. I haven't beat them all. We did 5. We did 5 on the podcast. We played 5. I don't know if we did 5 on the podcast.
We played it, but I don't know if we did it for the podcast. You're like, it's too modern.
Well, I don't like doing games that everybody, like, not that Monster Hunter Rise is any different, but like I try not to do games that everybody's talked to death, and Devil May Cry had plenty of others.
Says the guy that we did Death Stranding.
I had to do Death Stranding. That's special. One of the best games ever made. And then Final Fantasy Rebirth and all that. We do the big things sometimes.
But real quick, I've talked about the golden era of Capcom, and I think a lot of other people think too, it happened with Monster Hunter World being now their
started there.
It's their number one selling game of all time.
Mm-hmm. Just crazy to outsell like Mega Man's and stuff like that. Mega Man's like maybe not as big as people think he is sometimes.
Yeah,
like he doesn't like compete obviously with Mario and Sonic does not compete with Mario so necessarily, but like Mega Man just didn't ever.
I mean, you say that, but Exo Primal had Mega Man skins.
That's because Capcom puts their skins in everything
because they get them for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was January 2018. I think that was kind of like that was the start where they're like, oh crap. Oh crap! We cannot do anything bad. We're doing too good.
I just thought I said at the beginning of the podcast we didn't say what game we're going to do next for next episode. You played both of them. I only played one of them. We could pivot after the next episode. I'll say it now. Could be Mega Man Legends 1 and 2. We played Mega Man Legends 1 and 2.
And Tron Bond Adventures.
Blake played Tron Bond Adventures. So
it's also when we're talking about Capcom, especially, it's important to remember that we're coming at it with a very Western mindset and a very Western experience. I mean, that's not no way we can experience how big Capcom is in Japan.
And I mean, sure. I can't imagine what it is.
I mean, you want to talk about feeling like it has always been in your life. Try being Japanese. I can only assume.
Well, OK.
Well, even like you say, even you say like in the Japan thing's different, like. Monster Hunter World got it big in the world, Monster Hunter was huge before this.
Oh, massive, like, massive.
Was there five or six, seven games before World? It's been massive in Japan forever. We just started caring when World come out.
Like, I've always known about it. I'm like, always known about it. I couldn't play it. But now that I can play with other people, it's a little better.
That's the key part.
But speaking of the far reaches of Monster Hunter, I want to pivot completely out of video games just for a brief moment.
God, here we go.
There is a...
I like that movie, for the record.
What movie?
The Monster Hunter movie.
Oh, it's not bad.
We could talk about that, too. It wasn't bad. It could have been a whole lot worse.
Could have been way worse.
Yeah. But I do like Paul W.S. Anderson.
He makes movies.
They're enjoyable. They're enjoyable.
Anyway, where are you going?
Okay, I want to pivot completely out of video games for a minute just to talk about the far reach of video games, of specifically Monster Hunter. As there is a zoologist, a gentleman named Yiji Lee, and twice now, he has discovered a new species. In both cases, I believe it was spiders. One was a while ago. One was much more recently, back in like June. But he not only did he discover a new species of spider, it was a new genus of spider that he named the Rathalos. But the genus has three names. I'm not entirely sure what zoology means by genus, but that's like the main tree and then it branches off. But the genus is called Rathalos. And then he and his partner named one together called the Linley, which is both their last names. And then his partner got to name another one, called it the Zhu Shansi. Oh, wait, I don't know. The Zhao Shansis. The Rathalos Zhan Shausis. But then he because he's a big old nerd, he called his the Rathalos Trico, naming it after the Rathalos creature from Monster Hunter and Trico after his favorite starter from Pokemon.
Hmm.
And then he's named two other species, but I don't get their names, but he has a sense of humor. One's called the Funny Valentine, and another one's called the Gyro Zeppelin. I don't know what those came from, but very recently, like I think it was June, it was like 3 months ago, he discovered another spider. It's an eyeless spider, and he named it the Octocilia Kezu after another Monster Hunter creature that's a giant eyeless worm.
What was this guy's name?
His name is Yiji Lee.
I feel like when he named these things, he's like, yo, it's your boy Yiji Lee coming at you with the Rathalos. That's exactly how he...
I can believe it. He's my hero. But the fact that, the far reaching of this, zoologist out of nowhere is like, you know what? Not only am I going to name two things, I'm going to name two things, after my favorite video game.
Hey, it's better than the Latin and whatnot that they usually are based off of. I'll take it.
But I thought that was kind of cool and crazy and definitely worth, mentioning just because, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to talk too much about Capcom other than one thing is that February 28th next year, 2025, is the release date for Monster Hunter Wilds, which is supposed to be the follow-up to Worlds.
Yeah, one we're more excited about. As we talk about Rise, talk about how, because me and Blake puts a decent amount of time into World, and we're kind of hoping that Rise was more of that. It's not. To assume Wilds will be like World is not a smart thing to do. I would feel like that. I think every Monster Hunter changes stuff in enough ways that you have to like relearn how to play. I hope Wilds is really cool. And
they
really
are
good.
Calling Wilds the spiritual successor to World.
Yeah, but
that could be a couple of different things, but they're calling it, it's the closest thing to Worlds that they've gotten.
It's also not being completely designed for the Nintendo Switch with the Nintendo Switch in mind, because I think that's the
part of the Rise.
Yeah, that's part of the issue. The reason that I had problems with Rise, as we'll get into, is just because it was developed with the Switch and its limitations.
They developed it for the Switch because they couldn't port Worlds to the Switch. It couldn't handle it.
Well, yeah. Could you imagine what World would do to the Switch? It would just melt into a pile.
Yeah. So that just, just talked a little bit about Capcom. I'm trying to do a little better about shining the light on the people behind the scenes. So I'm just going to knock through a couple people real quick. We have the normally, like I said, in America, I don't really care for producers and stuff because you're like, oh, the producers are just whatever. But I bring this guy, the producer for Monster Hunter Rise is a gentleman named Ryuzo Sugimoto. He's actually the creator of Monster Hunter and has been involved with every single Monster Hunter game.
That's wild. It's cool how these people get attached to things and they just like do it forever.
He's responsible for all sort of game plan. Early on, it was game planning, game designing, and then it fell down to where he was just doing special events and stuff like that. But now he's just a producer, so he has a hand in everything. You also mentioned it earlier. He is the executive producer for Exoprimal. That's really all his only attachment to that. But we'll talk about that at a later date.
Or will we?
Maybe.
In passing.
But he created Monster Hunter, which is crazy.
And it's still alive and kicking still. That's awesome.
And then we have the director of the game, Yasunori Ichinose. And he actually has directed 5 other of the Monster Hunter games. And he's also been attached to Capcom most of his career. He's also written, I don't know what this is, but it says Resident Evil File Number 2 and Resident Evil Hellfire. Maybe they were like expansions or something for...
Maybe were they mobile games?
Resident Evil Operation Zero.
Never heard of that one.
Mm-hmm. No. File Number 2?
Just says File Number 2 and then Hellfire.
Those are like, because most Resident Evils are pretty mainstream.
They may be like, you know, Code Veronica's or like some spinoffs or like scenarios, like expansion story, DLC before DLC was a thing, maybe. And then I have the composer is a person named Satoshi Hori, and they have done this, Monster Hunter Rise, Resident Evil 7, and then Dragon's Dogma 2. It's the only thing they've done, but they're a newcomer, but they're doing good.
File Number 2 is a PlayStation 2 release. Missed that one totally.
Did it not come to America?
North America in 2005.
Never heard of that before.
No, Resident Evil Outbreak, File Number 2. Yeah.
Oh, Outbreak. Okay, I must have missed the Outbreak part when I was doing my research.
I mean, that didn't help me to know what it was without Outbreak.
One more Resident Evil that they need to remake. They're running out of them. They're remaking one. They're remaking the remake of one again. So
now's a good time for them to re-release Raccoon City.
They won't touch it again, probably.
Because I'd play that. It was fun.
Yeah. Or just make a whole new multiplayer one.
Like, only to
don't,
find
don't
out,
go yeah. back on that one. Just make a new one. I'm still gonna play Resident Evil 3 and 4 remakes. We play the Resident Evil 2 remake, obviously, because it's on the podcast, but. Gotta play 3 and 4. That 4 remake's supposedly incredible. I've never played through 4 all the way, or 3 for that matter.
And the engine, because normally it's Unreal or it's Frostbite. This is their own in-house engine, the RE engine.
Which, don't they claim, does not mean Resident Evil engine?
It doesn't mean Resident Evil. It means something else, but so we all know.
What's it called? We talked about Exoprimal opened up with the RE engine, so mm-hmm. they're using everything, but it's not the Resident Evil engine. I think I saw some other game that had it. One of the other games pops
up. Resident Evil 2 had it.
Well, that too, but I'm saying other. I think their fighting games now use it too. I think they all. It's their in-house engine now that does all their
it's
stuff.
The Reach for the Moon engine, supposedly.
They know what they're doing. Called the RE engine.
Oh yeah.
Right, because at first, I think we looked before Blake and these that engine actually, I thought we first started seeing it with the Resident Evil 2 remake when they first started really showing
it. This is something else.
But they were using it previously,
like in smaller things to do like background work. But yeah, that's kind of it. I guess there's other stuff that I have screenshots of that I'll talk about when we get to them. But that's kind of it for Capcom, and I'm perfectly fine jumping in.
We pivot to the game, which. What's your history with Monster Hunter, Brian, before we get in too much into this?
I played Worlds. That was the first one I played. I played probably about 35 or so hours of that, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the first. I kind of like y'all had heard of it, but I'd never touched it before that.
Yeah, I think we had actually had one random one years ago because I've had my GameFly.
GameCube or something.
I had my GameFly subscription forever. I'm probably one of the original members of Gamefly, who knows? But I had randomly, one time we got whatever Monster Hunter it was that was on the Switch, not Switch, Jesus Christ, the Wii, actually, your Wii or Wii U one, whatever it was, just showed up on the Gamefly. And that was a matter of playing it for about an hour, not understanding what I was doing. It was like single player. And I was just like, and that was my only taste I ever had. I'm not sure what made us get it, because for us, it was also
co-op. It was 110% because of co-op.
A couple of other friends were playing at the time, so. That's what it was.
And that's about the extent
of it. I like the idea. We'll talk more about between the my memories of World. It's kind of hard to come. Well, I guess we would have compared World to Rise a bit and how differently they actually play. They change so much. Even getting around a town to like setting up a mission to claiming your friends and then how stuff handles. It's all so different. We can get into all that kind of stuff. I mean.
Ready when you are. Or do you want to just dive into it?
Yeah.
So you are a monster hunter.
Well, yeah, don't do that.
And you go kill monsters. And there's a pretty, what do you call it? Loot cycle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're in a village. And we're like, hey, go kill things. And we're like, okay.
Yeah. Nobody plays Monster Hunter for the storylines.
I'll use their flesh. That's why I didn't write down the writer. And we'll use their flesh and bones to make armor and weapons to make us stronger to kill the next big creature. That's just Monster Hunter. Mm-hmm. This, one of the things that they added, one of the new mechanics is two things. They added, you have a mount. Mm-hmm. For the first time, I think, in all of Monster Hunter, you have a mount. And you have this thing called the wire bug, which acts as a hook shot to go with like the vertical. There's a lot of verticality.
Yeah. I'll say that a lot of verticality compared to, there's a lot of differences between the map design of World and Rise. Mm-hmm. Enough that we had a disliking for the maps in Rise.
Yeah. That was the biggest detractor, but that is where Rise gets its name, though. Rise came about because of the verticality of the environments.
Mm. Is that really what they said?
Yeah, that's really what they said. Yeah.
Mm. You are a lot more vertical, which verticality is cool in video games. Like, it's not always like that important, I guess, but it does make sense in the world of Monster Hunter. If you're exploring forest and mountains and caves, like verticality is obviously a thing you'd probably want, but you didn't have all this. Well, I guess you did mostly climbing and crap like that in World. You were just climbing. You weren't up flying and jumping and riding stuff. But I was saying, what we were playing, I was always seemed kind of lost in Rise, like on the maps.
Not really.
Well, I was a lot of time, but I remember like I was able to run through, like when my eyes closed in World sometimes, like get to those the maps in World that they just seem to flow a little better in World. I don't know if that's just me or I just seemed like it wasn't as smooth in Rise to get around.
It was wider and it had a lot of I can't think of the word because in Monster Hunter World, I think that at least that's the first time I ever heard of it, was they had a turf wars where the monsters would fight.
Way cooler in World.
Way cooler. We had way have them better. Sometimes in here.
Yeah, they happen. Yeah.
But they're way cooler in Worlds. And it was specific because you're like, oh, the Anjanath is always going to be there near its nest. The, you know, we call it the Great Jaggy is going to be down here at the bottom of the Great Tree. Mm-hmm. And it stayed there, and then you would, you know, obviously it would run away after you kill it, but it always went back to its nest when it was wounded.
Yeah.
And here, they just appeared wherever the hell they wanted to appear, and they would just run around constantly. They didn't have, I like the nest idea, you know, because monsters are, it wants to go back home, wants to go where it feels safe.
Does World and Rise have different directors?
I didn't do enough research into that.
So they're different enough, you think it'd be a different director, because different, like you said, this nesting idea, like certain ideas that were, they didn't move over to another game, you think you would change director. I mean, it could be the same guy just rolling through ideas, but like, you know, I did like fighting stuff in World and having it kind of run off to its nest. You go there,
and you're like, oh, it's heading back to, because it would tell you, like, oh, it's hurt and it's going back to its nest. And you're like, I know where it's at. Mm-hmm. I knew immediately where it was in my head, where the map was.
They're different directors.
Okay, different directors. That makes, you can definitely tell. I mean, I feel like I could have been wrong, but you can kind of tell by the way they play.
Looks like it was a whole different team, except for, you know, like the.
I wonder if they're doing that thing where they do like the world team moved on and actually started working on
Wilds.
The like the beginnings of Wilds, while this other team put Rise out to kind of keep Monster Hunter, you know, visible in the world, you know, keep it relevant.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely felt like a, not to detract from it, I mean, it wasn't a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't broken. It played well. And, you know, I'm not going to dog on it completely, but it definitely had that feeling that it was a, let's make sure we stay relevant. Let's make sure we, and we also had to hit the switch. You know, they had to hit the switch and they had to hit it hard with a good Monster Hunter game.
Because we forget, we didn't mention that all other previous Monster Hunter games have been Nintendo console stuff.
Right.
All of them, like it's that it mostly weirdly the biggest ones are on the DS and 3DS, I think, where it was like big times. Mm-hmm. So it's really been a Nintendo. Not that Nintendo doesn't own it or anything, but it's been like a Nintendo centric kind of thing. I don't know if they've even been on any other consoles until World. Honestly, I'd have to go looking, but
yeah,
like,
I have to.
So yeah, you're saying so we had to land a they had to land because World would never play on a Switch.
Oh no, gosh,
there's no crazy no way. I'm honestly amazed that I haven't. We played Rise on Xbox, so we did not play the Switch version. But I imagine Rise don't run that well on the Switch, if I'm being honest.
Especially if you dock it. If you dock it, I bet it goes to trash.
Yeah. So I can't imagine. But like you say, you're right. They had to get a Monster Hunter on the Nintendo system because they've had for Monster Hunter's entire life. It's always been on the Nintendo system.
I mean, their fan base would have been livid if they didn't hit the Switch because
we weren't going to play it. We weren't going to play Rise. We talked about it before. We weren't going to play Rise at all until we all of a sudden it was announced for Xbox.
Yeah, I knew
we were skipping it completely. I was like, I'm not playing it much better on the Switch. It's not happening.
No.
But then they got. We were actually kind of excited. Now, say we're not going to dog on the game. Me and Blake, and maybe Brian too, don't like Rise as much as World. But that, like Brian said, doesn't mean any mean that Rise is a bad game. Right? They're just so different. Like we're saying, like we also could hate Wilds when it comes out. We don't know. We have no freaking idea.
Yeah.
I don't hate Rise. We just didn't have a. We played a lot. We played a lot of hours.
Do you know how many hours you played? Did you track that at all by going to TA?
Well, not I don't use TA, but I can.
Well, no, you played on Xbox. So I don't know if you like look at your Xbox app and it tell you or something, or your Steam.
35 hours. 35 hours.
It was more.
Yeah.
I played for 48 hours because I was doing some stuff solo.
My World time is 89.
Mine's probably close to that.
Yeah.
But my 48 hours is what I did because I was also doing stuff solo, because in your game, whoever was hosting, we would do your story. Mm-hmm. My story didn't progress at all.
Yeah. They can't, with fingers crossed in Worlds, they can get co-op more figured out. It's a mess.
You mean Wilds?
Wilds. God, there's so many freaking names. Because co-op is, it's really tough to initiate in World. It's convoluted, but somewhat easier in Rise.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have it figured out in Wilds.
And in Rise, you could run around each other's village.
Yeah. You know? In World, you didn't. You kind of...
No, you can only one round
in the world. It was so complicated in World. Man, World had it. Now, so we don't talk trash just about Rise. World, you had to, like... Sometimes you could even join somebody's game if they hadn't watched the cutscene yet. You had to, like, wait for your, like, other buddies. Like, it was two or three or four of you that all had to watch this cutscene. And you never knew who hadn't seen what cutscene. And the whole game had to wait for somebody to all watch this one cutscene. And, you know, because everybody was on different links into the game. Mm-hmm. It was weird and awkward. Like I don't know why they made it, and I don't know if they didn't care enough to do anything to make it better. But Rise was maybe a slight improvement. It's hard to, you have to go through quite a few buttons to figure out how to join,
pause, invite. No, you had to like,
yeah, it was it's still a mess in Rise.
Yeah, so definitely not seamless by any stretch of imagination.
Yeah. It's somehow more complicated than any Dark Souls stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking here at some of the announcements and stuff. It was like in December 22, they announced that Rise was going to be ported to PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
And they initiated that you could do cross play and cross progression, but that was only supported on the PlayStation and the Xbox. It was not supported on the Switch. You could not cross play on the Switch with other people.
Nintendo would never allow that to happen.
Exactly.
And that, you try to imagine trying to cross play with somebody playing on the Switch. There's no way there wouldn't be any kind of lag or any kind of with our network and crap like that, there's just no way. They just like, they're like, you know what? We're not going to bother with that. There's just no way it's going to be viable.
So yeah, they did.
Will they get their online situation figured out by Switch 2? Totally off topic, but will Nintendo ever get their online stuff figured out?
I don't know why they would. If they need
block to it, why would they?
They need something to tank again for they try. They don't have to try anymore. When something is successful as the Switch, you don't have to try.
Yeah.
Like why? Like at this point, we talk about on Pokemon episodes and stuff like that. Why make Pokemon better if it's the highest selling franchise? Why bother? You know, why make the Switch better if it's one of the highest selling consoles? Why bother? Why waste our money?
It's just easier to keep going.
Just keep going. Like they're going to buy it anyway. Who cares? And I don't know if that's how they think or how, you know, we don't know Miyamoto and all the people who run all these freaking companies, but it's just like, it seems at a certain point, you're just like, it should be better, you know?
Definitely.
As we pre-order our Switch 2s.
They're missing out. They don't call it the Super Switch, but that's neither here nor there.
He's like, every time we bring the Switch up, it's like, you better be called the Super Switch.
It has to. I totally agree. 100%. You're not the most if you're not naming it Super Switch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or the Switch U.
Yeah. The Switch.
Add a third screen.
If you want to doom it right out of the box.
The Switchy with three eyes on the end for three screens. We didn't talk about it either. They did put out an expansion in June.
Sunbreak.
It's just called the Sunbreak.
So we didn't play Iceborne in World. We had gotten away from the game before that had come out. I kind of want to go back. I thought about going back to it, but who knows?
Several times. Yeah.
We had stopped Bryce before. I think we had stopped before they announced Sunbreaker.
It came with it. It was a free expansion for the Xbox.
For the whole release, so we had the Sunbreak.
Yeah, because we
didn't play long enough.
Well, we got armor out of that expansion.
Yeah, I think that DLC armor that we got.
Yeah. Ridiculous armor.
Yeah. Really good armor, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we did have some. We just didn't fight none of the new monsters.
We may have, because I think it was integrated into the game.
I don't know if anything like Iceborne, they hardline separate that, because there's... One thing you hear about Iceborne was like the massive difficulty spike for Iceborne.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did the same thing with Sunbreaks. I don't think they would mix it per se, as they would just have a part where you just enter into that to new kinds of monsters and stuff.
It says right here that the Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak was released. It added new monsters, quests, weapons, armor, story elements, and included a higher difficulty called Master Rank for hunts, and that was a similar thing that had been in previous Monster Hunter games. The expansion also centered around a new monster called the Elder Dragon Malzino, but it also brought back some of fan favorites from previous iterations. But it also introduced a new hub area and new hunting areas.
It was separate then, yeah. Yeah, we didn't play long enough.
No, no, we did. Yes, we did.
Now I don't know if the count that I did also counted Daybreak or Sunbreak, but Monster Hunter Rise had a total of 34 monsters. Now there was also like Apex versions of some of the monsters. I didn't count those. I counted everything that was original, and I didn't count the small mod. I counted the large monsters that we hunt and you could farm, but there are 34 of them. And when I counted, I think I did the count right, but we, as far as I could tell, we encountered 22 of the 34.
Well,
As far as I can tell, now I may be getting it mixed up with other Monster Hunter games, but I think that we encountered, because as I went through, I was like, yeah, I recognize that.
To be mentioned, we play Monster Hunter Stories as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Stories. And I do look forward to playing Monster Hunter Stories too. That's on the Switch. I'm kind of, we'll play that eventually. On the topic of monsters, does anybody have a favorite that you remember? One that was like particularly difficult or
everything was hard? Well, I don't want to say Rise was harder than World, but it seemed like everything took
a lot longer.
Battles was a long slog.
I think that's kind of what drew us away from it. The sense of progress of like defeating something. It just, I know, people always say, yeah, you're a little dude beating up a big monster. It's going to take a while. Like that's the argument you always hear when people say these games. You kind of think that when you play World too, but like it's definitely.
And I get
definitely longer.
I get Rise. That they uptick it because you have more people.
Yes.
But like I mean, when you're battling one monster, and it's not even one of the hardest monsters, but you're battling it for 20 or 30 minutes, and you're just like,
what are those
are you dead yet?
What are those times when you spend that 20 or 30 minutes and we all get knocked out by whatever circumstances? Yeah. You just flush that 30 minutes down the toilet.
Yeah, that too, when you get God.
That's part of it, I guess.
Getting God ain't good.
We'll say an easy thing to like is an Aghanath. I'm sure they're a fan favorite. Aghanath way, I keep saying, Aghanath is way cooler in world.
Oh yeah,
way more vicious. I feel like, I don't know. I hate to keep comparing it to the previous game, but it's impossible not to when you play them both, and they have some of the same monsters. I don't know. Do you remember anything else besides?
There's a bunch.
What about the Kezu? You loved the Kezu, Blake.
It's just because it was creepy looking.
Oh, that white thing was like,
which what the spider was like named after, the Kezu
flesh sack.
Yeah, I think it was gross.
Yeah, the white flesh sack.
We saw those in stories
for the first time, and I was like, oh, I'd love to see this in bigger thing than put it out in Rise. And this is just a gross, gross looking monster.
I liked the Tetranodon. I was always the big gator moss covered thing. It was like a alligator looking.
What was it called?
Yeah, I'll spell it
real quick. Tetranodon.
That was the frog. That was that giant frog.
Yeah, frog alligator looking thing.
Yeah, yeah, that thing was cool looking. Do you remember?
Yeah, like, I can't spell Tetranodon.
Tetranodon. Nadon.
Tetranodon.
It was like a roly poly, like turtle alligator frog.
Oh, it was always in the water. We'd go down in the water most often to fight,
and it would like sometimes like hide in the water. And
oh, that's right. Up. Yeah, it's cool when you Google it, you see the different versions of it because it's been in multiple games.
Oh yeah,
kind of cool.
Huh. That one was pretty cool. Some of the newer ones that we saw. God, what was that stupid thing? The that damn monkey.
Oh yeah,
remember that thing?
No, I remember the monkey.
Yes,
it's like the Bishtan.
Yeah, Bishitan.
Yeah, it was like the winged monkey that would like fly back on its tail / fifth arm and then catapult itself. Those were intense.
Its fifth arm. I like that description.
It's what it was.
You're not wrong.
I did have a fondness too, just because of how, I don't know, it was vicious, but also kind of derpy, was the bear, the Azeros.
Oh, the sleepy one?
Yeah. He'd always carrying around a jar of honey. He was like Winnie the Pooh, the monster hunter.
Yeah.
I didn't care for, just because it didn't really look that cool and it was kind of annoying to fight, was that firebird. It was like a stork.
Anything flying.
It was a stork and it would like do this thing where like shield its head with its wings. The Aknosum.
Yeah.
But I
see a list of monsters here.
Yeah. I mean, some of them we know. You have the Baggy, the Izuchi, the Woogie. The, what do you call it?
Rathalos and Rathians. I mean, those are for common stuff.
Yeah. That mudfish, the Gyarados or whatever.
Yeah, which wasn't, again, not as interesting as the way it moved in world was, because movement's a pretty important thing, I think, to the way creatures move in a game like this. And the movement for that was better in world.
And then there was the Snow Bunny. Mm-hmm. Was it Snow Bunny? Then we fought that. Now, I don't know if we fought one of these, but I think we did. Was the Narga Kuga, the wolf bat? Did we fight one of those? Or am I remembering that from playing?
Remember those in the Monster Hunter and the.
I think they were in Rise because we had to fight up into that giant mushroom in that water area where we fought the Woogie.
Well, yeah, I'm on the Rise wiki, so yeah, it's in the game.
I think we did.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking creature. I like it a lot. And of course, you got the Pookie Pookie. And then there's a monster that was, they called it their flagship monster because it's unique to this one. It's the first time it's appeared in a game and it's on the cover of the art. And it's, I think it may be one of the monsters that led us to quitting because it was so difficult for us to kill.
Oh, yeah.
That samurai lion saber-tooth thing, the Magnamoto or Magnamolo.
Magnamolo.
Mm-hmm. Magnamolo. That thing was, did we ever kill one?
I think we killed one, but. I think
bought it forever.
Yeah, I think that was probably the thing that led us to like, this is taking too long. I don't want to spend 45 minutes on a fight. Yeah,
because that one, we were also fighting it in a large open area too. And so you would actually get started good on it and it would run and then you'd have to chase it again. Yeah, that was.
It reminded me to pull this Monster Hunter wiki next time when we play Wild. It has all kinds of good stuff.
It's got all the weaknesses and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it lays it out for you.
I will say it's fond of my heart just because the thing is derpy is the Bayroth. You know what I'm talking about? It's that one that with like the big head and the little arms, and it would shake mud and it would charge and like knock itself out sometimes.
Yeah, that ran at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although walking in the mud was annoying as all.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. You know, I'm sure we encountered a bunch of them. I'm trying to think of like ones that were slightly unique, because I'm sure there's some we didn't see. Like I said, we did 22 of 34. There's quite a few we didn't see.
I'm actually surprised there's only 12 that we didn't see.
Yeah. I do remember fighting that one that would shoot the bubbles at us. It was like a, looked like a giant fox, like an Arctic fox almost.
I liked the Zenogre. I liked that one. That was cool.
Zenogre.
Oh, yeah, the lightning thing.
Yeah, the lightning.
Yeah, that thing was really cool.
Yeah, that one was cool. And it would travel, zap across.
That was really dope.
Zenogre is a giant wolf-like creature that is both powerful and dangerous. obviously.
Man, they really break it down for you.
Oh, yeah, there's one. Did we fight the Toby Kadachi in...
That's a world monster. I don't think
it... No, it's in Rise, but I think it maybe came in the Breaker. The Daybreaker. Zenogre. And what's this red thing? Oh, that stupid arm. I hated fighting the armadillo.
Yeah, because
it was just, you kept bong, bong, bong. You'd bounce off your shell. I hated fighting it.
Yep, that one was annoying.
Because the bear was annoying, too, because he had armor plating on his butt. And he would, like, you know, jump back at you. But he was manageable. Okay, well, I'm talking about, you know, monster hunting, of course. What weapon
we have to pick a talk about weapons, obviously.
Yeah, were y'all static on your weapon choices? Did y'all change up a bunch?
I tried to change up some, but I didn't have as much. Like, the gun lance, I sucked with that one. Drew, you had better luck with that.
Well, not the gun lance, there's like a small rifle and a larger rifle. I think it was
they're called bow guns.
The larger one, yeah. I had better luck with that one. I didn't touch that one at all in World. In World, I only did I did giant sword, the daggers, and then a bow. And the bow was like incredible in World.
Yeah, I hated the bow in Rise. Whatever they did,
they changed.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
I just stuck with a sword and shield for the most of the time, or dual blades. That was what I bounced back and forth.
The dual blades are really pretty good. I used the dual blades. Like for certain monsters in World. I didn't have like specific builds in this one. I was just kind of like scattered on trying to find a moveset. Cause you gotta like lock into like a weapon type that you like, feel like, you know, if you want to see some cool stuff, watch professionals play Monster Hunter.
God, I know.
Yeah. Like
it is disheartening to watch, but it's also cool.
I stuck with my usual cause it was almost the same. It was slightly different.
The hammers
worked. My range is probably some of the shortest range of any of the weapons. But I was breaking heads, you know. If I could time it right and I could get my little spinning combo, mm-hmm. I'd knock somebody out. I'd mollywop.
I think I ended up using the gun the most because everybody's like the default weapon for most people. They will go with the giant sword, what it was called, the great sword. I just wasn't feeling it this time around. So I think I pivoted to guns pretty quickly, didn't I?
I think so. We were all trying them out.
It didn't take many sessions.
Our thing, too, is all three of us. There wasn't friendly fire, but we would get in each other's way and we would block an attack.
Yeah.
And so we're like, someone needs to try doing long range. And then I was like, oh, I'll try using the bow. I love the bow in World. And then I hated the bow. And then I tried the gun. And I was like, Drew, you try this. Don't even try the bow. It sucks. And you tried the bow anyway. And you're like, oh, this is awful. It's like what I told you. And I told you to try the bow gun because it turns it into like a shooter, a third person shooter, and you get to stay back and it's
sort of, yeah.
And then you get to do the different elemental bullets like armor piercing.
Yeah, it had a bunch of different ammo types.
Mm-hmm. And once you figured out how to utilize them fairly and hot swap between them, it did make things slightly better.
So all the weapons have the different kind of skills that make you look cool. Every now and then you could get lucky and trigger one of those, like I was like a sliding, like a sliding shoot or like a flip shoot and stuff like that, because you got to maintain mobility a lot of times. Mobility is really, really important. You really have to understand and still shooting a gun. But it was, you know, I didn't go to none of the tutorial stuff to figure out how to play the game to figure out how to do those things like on purpose. But it sure looked cool when they happened occasionally on their own.
Speaking of one cool thing in mobility, I don't think it's been a thing in other games, but I think because of Monster Hunter Stories being a monster writer, one of the new things that they put in Rise was you could beat up a monster and you could mount it.
Oh, yeah.
And you could ride it around and have it fight and use it as a weapon to fight other monsters.
And that was fun.
Could do that in World.
I don't believe you could do that in World, no.
Yeah, it was good. That's a good way to take down
some of the bigger things.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that, getting turned into the bear, turning into like getting the Bayroth and charging towards one of the Bossaris, that big rock thing that shot the volcanic rocks out of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Barsorios or something like that. Mm-hmm. And being able to, that was cool and unique. And you're like, I got the monster. We would take turns, and sometimes playing as the monster was cool. Sometimes it sucked. It just depends. Like the not all like they all it was the same buttons, but they just didn't all control the same.
Yeah.
But then getting some of like the smaller raptor ones, like the Woogies and the Izuchi and the Bagra, was not even worth doing. You wanted just like a big boy.
Mm. Well, what else?
It's Monster Hunter Rise. I mean, like it's one of those things where like. Normally we talk about our experiences, but like I didn't really have a lot of super fun experiences. You just beat it with a hammer, and you did talking about the mobility is one of the other new mechanics they added. Is besides you have your Palico who hangs around, he hangs around with you.
Their presence seems a lot lessened in this.
Yeah, well, because in I think just like the other ones is if it's two players, you get to bring your Palicos with you. If it's three and four, you don't get to bring your Palico with you.
No, they just go off on their. They went off their own missions, right? You send them off on.
Yeah, you could do that.
To whatever they called the,
like a resource farming.
But you had your Palamute all the time. That mount that you had to keep.
And now, just like your player character is, he got weapons and he got armor. Is you could armor up your Palamute and your Palico, armor them up and weapon them up. Yeah. And some of the stuff on them looked really cool. Cooler than it looks on you, honestly. And then, of course, you get to customize your dog to make it look however you want it. But yeah, giving that Palamute some.
I think mostly, I really notice them in combat too much. I think they occasionally help pick you up sometimes.
They would help pick you up, and like depending on what skill you had on them. I made sure mine had a healing skill and a pickup skill that helped pick us up more quickly.
And then a couple of times I used their mobility to like run in and attack, you know, whatever weapon you had on them at the time.
Mm hmm. You're like, because you could ride it and you could have them ta 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 and attack because they carry the weapon in their mouth. It was pretty cool. The verticality is you could take that thing and ride up a completely vertical wall, ride up vines, ride up or ride down.
Mm-hmm.
And was there fall damage? I can't remember because you
don't think so.
I don't think so. No, we jumped off some massive cliffs
from some great heights, and I don't remember taking any fall damage.
They probably got rid of it because of the whole wire bug thing, because if you're going to put those wire bugs in, because those you hit one of those trails, I forget what they call them or whatever, and you could end up way high real fast
real quick. Mm-hmm.
Which they did their best with the Palamute and the wire bugs to make the verticality easier to navigate and everything else. But I'm with Drew on that. I was lost half the time. As usual, in Dark Souls and everything else, we just follow Blake around. We're like, he goes, no, I remember where I'm going. And we're like, okay, good, because I don't. So just take me there. Because if you would get to over the top of the icon for whatever monster you're hunting, and you look and you're like, no, they're not here. Oh crap, they're actually underneath us in a cavern. So now we have to go find the entrance to the cavern and then go down there.
It wasn't always easy to find either.
No. Yeah.
Because of the verticality and stuff like that, you're like, where is it? I can hear it. It's roaring. It's killing stuff, but I can't do nothing. I was looking at some of the stuff here. I did want to mention, because just like past Monster Hunter games, Monster Hunter Rise also included crossover events, which we've spoken about a little bit.
Mm-hmm. This one had some too.
Yeah. It says the very first crossover event they ever did was with a crossover event for Monster Hunter Stories 2. And it did
barely a crossover in the same game.
But then it says the second one they did was Okami, and it featured the Amaterasu.
That's cool.
Was one of the creatures you could do. The third thing they did was it introduced a character costume based on Akuma from Street Fighter that gave you special combat abilities.
I liked Akuma.
That's cool.
And then one of the other crossover events they did was it was a Palamute costume that was based on Rush from Mega Man. So you can make your Palamute look like Rush. And have like additional abilities.
Yeah, we missed out on there was a Final Fantasy crossover in World where you get to fight a behemoth.
We never got to play far enough.
I guess I don't. It's hard to find that content sometimes in those games. It's buried in there.
Yeah, it says right here the fourth crossover event, the fourth and I guess fourth and final because it said is one of the they did a crossover event where you could. It's also a little disturbing when you think about it, but it says that you could get outfits and armor and stuff based on Sonic the Hedgehog, which meant a lot of hedgehogs got murdered in order to make this armor. But you could get costumes based on Sonic the Hedgehog.
Hey, that's a Sega crossover. That's strange.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not unheard of, obviously.
Yeah, but that's still pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That may have also been around the time that, like, November 21 may have been when that movie was coming out, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
We didn't play long to see none of that stuff. I always feel like we don't play Monster Hunter games long enough to get. They say like what they say about World is like the game didn't really start till you beat the story.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, that's, oh my god.
Well, I hate to say it.
It's like 40-50 hours to beat the story of Monster Hunter.
I don't have the time to dedicate to it. Everybody talks about those forever games or your perennial game that you can just go back to over and over and over again. You just always play it. And I guess unless you're talking about iterative sports titles, I don't have any of those where I'm like, no, this is what I always come back to. No, there's always something new to play.
There's too many games, old and new, that I've never played. And I'm nowadays it's just drowning in content. You know, stuff comes out all the time.
And the quality's pretty freaking high most of the time, too.
Well, it depends. We just bought like a $3 game the other day. We're like, there's a reason it's $3. This is awful. Just delete it. Talking about, real quick, I want to mention this last thing real quick about like crossover events. It's not really a crossover event. It's more like a promotion event. Mm-hmm. But they did release a special Nintendo Switch bundle that came with its dock and Joy-Cons were emblazoned with special artworks. Rise artwork.
They do that for a lot of stuff, yeah.
And ahead of Rise's release, there is a, I guess it counts as a crossover, but not for Monster Hunter, but it was for Super Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, there was some downloadable content, three of them specifically, for your Mii Fighter. It gave your Mii Fighter, it just says Hunter Armor, Rathalos Armor, and a Feline Hat. And the game also included three collectible spirits based on the Palico, Palamute, and the flagship monster, the Magna Malo, were added to the game permanently as little collectibles.
That's neat.
Yeah. But that was a crossover with Smash Brothers. But, that's self-promotion. It's like, why wouldn't we try to do this? And we've already talked about the amount of these things that sold. This is insane. Oh, I'm looking at this right here. It says that in the first 3 days, it's funny how they're comparing the two. It says the first 3 days of Monster Hunter Rise, it sold 4 million copies worldwide. That compared to Monster Hunter, in the first 3 days, Monster Hunter World shipped 5 million copies in its first 3 days. So it was already doing a little better from the get-go.
Man, that's a significant fall off, though. From the first 3 days, you sell almost a third of what you're going to sell like lifetime on that game. That's crazy.
Well, the other thing too is that it said it says right here within the first week, Japan's best-selling retail stores said it was the best game of the week within the country because it also led to a surge uptick in Switch unit sales, doubling the Switch and Switch Lights compared to the previous week. Whatever that might mean. It didn't give me the exact number. It just says it doubled in most stores.
That's an unholy number.
Because people were like, ooh, I've been waiting. I want to play a Monster Hunter on the Switch, on the go, a mobile Monster Hunter. Let's do it. And so, yeah, that's crazy.
You just play a better version on your Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch has now sold 143.42 million units.
I think it's still under PS2, though.
Yeah.
They're coming up on it. I feel like they're like literally waiting to announce because they keep saying they're going to announce.
They're the pushing Switch it off on purpose.
Just to like, please, let's sell more units in the PS2 just so we can say we have the best selling console of all time.
I don't think it'll. PlayStation 2 is a monster.
I don't know what the PS2 numbers are, but I know the Switch because it'll be a big day if they get there. But the PS2 numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah. And then it says right here, see, Rise, base game Rise sold 12 million copies. And the Sunbreaker sold 5 million copies. And then them combined, they did like a special Breaker and Sunrise together, and that one sold 6 million copies.
157.7. So that's close. They're 14. No, not even 14. Yeah, 14 million away.
Still a lot.
Still a lot.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge amount.
I think they're going to get there. They would have got there, but there's no way they get that before the new Switch comes out.
Unless they do it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll announce Alarmo 2.
Yeah.
Ooh, Alarmo.
Alarmo.
Well, I mean, I feel like
we're kind of floundering a little bit.
Because we didn't. Well, I mean, it's this way sometimes. It's Monster Hunter, but we don't.
I was never
super excited to like turn it on, and I hate keep trying to.
It was like Monster Hunter Lite, though, in my opinion. It was Monster Hunter Lite. Like when a game is a sequel, and I know Rise probably wasn't meant as a direct sequel of World, but it went backwards. You know what I mean? And I think that was all because of the Switch architecture. So I don't have much more to say about it other than, yeah, it was more of the same, pretty much. And they tried their best, and they tried a few things I didn't think worked, like with level design, that kind of thing. But it wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but it didn't speak to me that much either.
Yeah. My thing was just how long I get it. Yes, we're minuscule humans going against these monstrous creatures. I get it. Mm-hmm. But when we've been wailing into, and I mean, like, we've been doing good. We've been getting combos in, like, you know, tag teaming.
It just didn't feel as satisfying because it went from, I feel like the sense of satisfaction would be if they had like maybe 25% less health. Because you get to a point where I've been running this freaking thing for, it feels like forever, chasing this dumb thing.
Well, then it does that stupid crap too, where it runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would start breathing or panting or whatever, and then it would run to hide.
It had built-in shortcuts.
Where it just disappears so you couldn't follow it?
Yeah, where it
would wormhole you, and pop like, up on the other side of the map.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my God.
I feel like an excuse just to run across the map again.
Yeah. I found that irksome. I mean, the game did look really pretty. It was often bright. It was weird how bright it was. It was a little cartoony, a different art
it was style kiddie. than World. Yeah,
yeah.
It was they had to make it pop for the Switch. I'm sure.
Yeah,
probably part of the stipulations. It's like
maybe because it wasn't as gritty as the
not as gritty or realistic as World is.
And then one of the other, because there's a mechanic that you could catch a monster. But it worked a lot.
Could you do that in Rise?
You can do it in Rise, but it worked so much better in World because you're like, let's follow the monster back to its nest. It sleeps at its nest. It's trying to heal up after the combat. You set up the net and when it's in seconds. And the traps never.
We didn't do it. I don't think we ever trapped it.
I didn't trap a single monster in Rise.
You had to do it in a tutorial if you went to the arena or whatever.
In order to fight stuff, trapped one of the bears.
Okay.
In order to fight stuff in the arena, you had to reach
for one.
You had to capture one. And it was like, yeah. Because normally when you capture one, it led to you having like double, in World anyway, you got like double the items. The only reward for capturing it was you got to fight it again in the arena. I don't think you got a lot of additional things.
Yeah.
It may have been what led to us like, why bother? I'm not fighting this thing again after fighting it for 30 minutes.
And there's one thing we didn't mention yet, I guess, is that tower defense mode where, remember when we had,
that may have been what made us quit the game.
I think it might have been, yeah.
We had that story mode. Yeah, it was just wave after fortress, wave.
Yeah, they keep beating you back further. And you're supposedly protecting the village, you know, and you're just...
That was cool, but then it just did the thing where it just went on a little too long. The enemies had a little too much health.
There's like Dark Souls 2, there was a couple too many enemies.
And yes, you could help. You could set up helpers, but your helpers were stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had siege weapons and that kind of thing, but nah.
And then you could hire like one of the captains, and he would like, we're going to summon the guard captain number one, and he'd come out in special armor, just kind of walk back and forth. Like, dude, you can't take on 3 monsters. It's not how that works, but he would like defend the center lane. It was,
yeah.
I actually completely forgot about that.
No, Did something similar, like not as like it wasn't like a there was some story moments I think in World that required like a bit of a defensive thing.
But that was
This
when
was
you were
like a
going
this was like this was
the
like a
Elder
whole
Dragon.
Elder Dragon
You
stuff.
know, they
So
were like
our eyes
big.
was like a whole separate, like it was a whole separate mission type that we like
Yeah.
try we avoided unless it made us do one for the
Oh yeah.
story.
I think we did it twice, maybe three times.
Yeah.
And we almost quit on the second one, but we managed to beat it by the skin of our teeth, and we're like, geez, that sucked so much, but and then we played the game and had fun, and then we avoided it. I blacked it from my memory. I literally forgot about you. You brought it up just now, Brian. Well, anything else good to say about it?
I think something good.
Like I
I will.
said, I had fun. I won't say I
For
didn't
the
have
most part,
fun.
times, yeah.
I mean, for the most part, I had fun. And it did make for the Switch, they did spawn three new amiibos. And they were, in fact, the Palico, the Palamute, and the Magnemola. I mean, those
There you
probably
go.
look some really cool
I
looking
didn't know those existed.
amiibos.
Yeah. Crazy, they're still making amiibos.
They make money. Why wouldn't they? They're
Yeah,
just a
as long as they
different.
keep selling, they're going to keep making.
They're just a different style of a pop figure, except for these can add stuff to your game. We fell into it. We fell into the
Oh,
amiibo rabbit
we had a
hole.
bunch of them back on the early days, yeah.
I still kept all the Pokemon ones.
So I at least have this.
I still have those, and I got Cloud.
Gotta keep Cloud.
I think we're kind of at that point now where we're kind of like, ooh, we talked about everything kind of like, ad nauseum. Do we want to go into our ratings now?
I forgot to even do that, but I think I got a number in my head. Did you think of anything, Brian? Like,
Yeah, I thought of something.
okay.
But we'll let Brian go first, and we'll do the
Oh man,
trickle down
you want to go
economics.
second?
Oh crap! I forgot. I remember my number now. I got to remember my stupid
But you go
thing.
first, boy. If you got your trade.
That's fine. I did mine. Like I said, we had fun, but it didn't. I don't know what it just didn't grip me like World did. It's not fair. I mean, it's different, and they. It's not fair. It's different, and they did. They tried new things. It's okay to try new things. I'm not gonna, it's not it for everybody. Just like I said, the amount of health these things had, and I was genuinely excited to see Turf Wars because they happened, and then when they happened, they were just like roar, roar. And I was like, oh, these are lame. Because like in I remember like in Monster Hunter World, and Anjanath versus the Tobakadachi, the Anjanath grabbed it. It's like swung it around and threw it across the battlefield, and they were causing damage, and you didn't want to be there when a turf war was going on.
Like fit your distance.
Yeah, and it was just kind of the different terrains we went through, a river world, a jungle. Like they had good, terrain and diversity of monsters. Fighting the monsters was good, and getting to see some monsters that I wanted to see from Monster Hunter Stories and better graphics, specifically like the Kezu or the bear, the Azuros, like was really cool. But then seeing the Anjanath, you're like, oh, you were cool in World, I just kept, but I gotta go because my favorite weapon is the hammer, and my favorite technique is the Whirlwind Hammer. It's just awesome. So I'm gonna give the game 6 Whirlwinding Hammers out of 10.
A lot of sixes. We have a lot of we play a lot of right down the middle games. We have with a lot of sixes.
It's
The
okay.
ratings don't mean nothing, so it's fine.
Yeah. I don't have any explanation other than I realize that a lot of people love this game, and I'm proud that you love this game, and I understand that it is a good game and it's not broken and it's fine. But yeah, it didn't grip me either, and I had already settled on a 6, and it was just 6 severed limbs out of 10.
Reasonable.
Well, see, my logical thing for me to do would be giving it a 6 as well. Now, this is the devil's game.
I mean, you can't do that.
Devil Joe. Isn't that a muncher? Devil Joe?
There's actually a creature called the Devil Joe,
Devil
Devil
Joe?
Ho.
Devil Joe? Yeah.
But I don't
We
know if he's been in this one.
didn't fight one in Rise, but we fought one in a world. We did everything in World, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So 6. I didn't have time to think of a I forgot to think of a thing. I'll give it 6 Devil Joes. Why not? We didn't fight one, but
It fits.
yeah, the scary monster. That and the was the Devil Joe Blake the thing in World? Is that the one that's in the desert that like murdered us repeatedly? And that was actually fun to lose to because it was so power like it was legit scary and kind of powerful. Is that Devil Joe in the desert
It's
and just
yeah, I think it's called the Devil Joe. It's JHO, yeah, Devil Joe.
yeah? There's one in the desert. I think it is in the. In World, and we man, we had a hard time with that thing. I think eventually we had a, you could shoot up like flares in world and it calls like help, like mm-hmm. just general help. And we had a guy show up one time, help us take one and down.
Manhandle it.
Yeah, he showed us how to play. He showed us how you really play Monster Hunter.
Those guys show up though.
Because we fought some things like the Diablos and it wasn't as terrifying.
Nothing is as intense in Rise as it was in World. There's just a different.
Well, just walking through the desert in Monster Hunter World and you're like, what's that? Oh, it's an antlion. It's not an antlion. It's a giant dragon coming out from, you know, it was like, you know, much more spectacle. Mm-hmm. And I get that they had to work off the switch.
Yeah, they were hamstrung from the jump. And I think that's why they went more cartoony and less realistic and gritty. You know, they embraced it. They leaned into it and did what they could with it. So.
And the monsters did look cool, like the, you know, the ones that were already kind of naturally colorful, like the Toby Kadachi and the Pookie Pookie, you know, they looked cool. Yeah. But just the AI for the creatures wasn't as good as it was in World.
Yeah. Remember that roly-poly thing in World? We felt bad.
It's like the Ergon.
Yeah. We didn't see one in Rise. There's this terrifying looking creature in World, but it's really easy to like beat up and like knock over because it was kind of clumsy. It's like covered in spikes, like these bone spikes. It looks freaking crazy.
Look it up on your computer. I think it's called the Ugdon, the Ugdon.
Maybe, but man, for something that's as, but we loved fighting it. Could be kind of felt bad for.
It was the definition of derpy.
Yeah, but it was such a cool monster, good looking monster. God, we killed so many of those and felt bad. It's like
Udon.
Is it called the Udon?
I think so. No, that's not it. That's something else.
I don't know the name if I'd seen it, but
yeah, but it's literally a giant roly poly, and it just rolls and rolls and rolls, and then it would stun itself because it would hit a wall, and then it would just fall over, and you just fall lay over. Waste to it. And I felt that was the cutest monster, and I felt that was probably the one I felt
cute.
It was probably the one I felt worst about killing. Because I was just like, oh, bless this thing's heart.
He's just dumb. This is sad.
I can't find it in here. There's no way to. But yeah, I can't. Hold on. Right there. The Rotobon.
Yeah, the Odogaron.
Rotobon. It's the Rotobon. Yeah.
Odogaron is that giant metal wolf.
Radobaan for anybody like Brian or anybody else who's listening.
Rotobon.
Terrifying looking monster, but it's like.
It's derpy.
Derpy to fight.
Oh, yeah. It looks bad, doesn't it?
He's scary. But they fall over. They knock themselves over. When you hit them, they fall. They're just very, very clumsy. But it was actually a fun to fight in World.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. One of its biggest weaknesses is it's highly susceptible to sleep.
Of course it is.
Aren't we all?
Bless his heart. But yeah, I do remember feeling bad for that. I didn't mean to turn that into the, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but just looking at these images and videos from World, and you're just like, oh wow, that looked a lot better.
Here's the thing: if we don't like if Wilds doesn't click, we're gonna have to
go back to Worlds.
We're gonna have to go back to World. I wanted to get Brian. You'll have to get it if you don't already have it on Xbox. We'll have to go back to do. If we're gonna talk this much. Spend the whole Rise podcast and eventually Wilds podcast. We spend the entire Wilds podcast talking about World. We got to go back and just play World again at that point. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, go back and do Iceborne.
Yeah, we never made it to Iceborne. Mm-hmm. Fight the Tigrex and a bunch of other things.
Like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of sixes, and maybe we're finding out that when you get into the multiplayer game genre, that's what mediocre. It is. You're swimming in sixes for the most
part. It's all about the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of times, just hanging out, talking. Yeah,
I was like, man, I don't want to play this, but
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that all three of us enjoy narrative in a video game and we enjoy a story. And I guess it is harder to do a story that is kind of, you know, goes past two player.
Well, when there is talking, when us three are playing a game and there is talking, we get mad because they're talking so much.
Yeah, true. Right? I mean, we're guilty. We're guilty of not paying attention to half of the stories that they got going on.
I skipped every line of dialogue, I think, in Dark Souls 2.
It takes a special person to focus in on a Dark Souls story and keep it all straight.
And we'd already gone through Dark Souls 2. Well, you and I have gone through Dark Souls 2 before.
Yeah. I listened to all the talking in Elden Ring the first time, probably. Yeah.
we got annoyed with all the talking that happened in Anthem.
Yeah, and they were
we knew that story didn't go anywhere anyway. That story went to failure and cancellation. So,
well, probably the best written story was Shredder's Revenge.
Have we played a game where we cared about this? Have we co-opted a game yet that we've cared about the story?
I don't think so.
No. We could...
Zombie Army Trilogy. Oh, wait. Has that been on the podcast yet?
Not yet. No. Back for Blood, that dude had daddy issues.
Major daddy issues. Yeah, because we got to play Zombie Army 4. We were going
to
play first.
I wanted to do Zombie Army 4, and then we'd talk about all of them together in one single.
Yeah.
That seems to be the best thing.
It almost be talking about two, because like Zombie Army 1, 2, and 3 are basically the same game.
Yeah.
And then we know that me and Blake could play, we dabbled in 4, so we know it'll be a little bit.
I think it'll be better because I don't want to do a Zombie Army 1, you know, 4 Zombie Army episodes. But do you want to announce our next game as Mega Man Legends? Do you want to do something else?
Yeah, we'll write out some. It's nothing like this. We can write it out and
ride the
Capcom wave, and you can save yourself some trouble of talking about Capcom. We can talk about Kenji Inafune, I guess.
Yeah, specifically in Mighty No. 9,
who his career has gone nowhere since he left Capcom. Poor fella.
Bless his heart. But I was looking into it, just talking about, because TA, I played for 48 hours and got 2 achievements.
Oh, good gosh.
Well, yeah, you'll see the TA has average completion times for video games, usually fairly accurate. The completion time ratio for both Monster Hunter World and Rise is between 600 and 1,000 hours.
Good Lord.
That's people who pull up. You got to love it.
There's too many video games out there to spend all my time on one.
Yeah. I don't have the attention span for that.
Yeah. Well, I keep telling myself, you said, like, there's never any games you just love so much that you just kind of fall back into because there's so many games to keep you going forward. I keep telling myself over and over and over again. It's like, I'm going to make another file and make another character in No Man's Sky. So I love the however many hundreds of hours I put in No Man's Sky originally when I was playing with Blake and our other friends. And
it's so different now.
I keep telling myself, I'm gonna install it again. I'm gonna do some for random fun, some permadeath runs, or just run around in that game. And then I never do it because I gotta play the next thing. I can't go back to a game that I loved. I gotta keep moving forward. And it's just like, man. And there's no telling the crap now that ever I haven't seen. And they done did another graphical overhaul and stuff like that.
We have all these old games behind us.
Yeah. And I don't want to because one thing it doesn't do good is co-op. Like, I mean, you can play No Man's Sky together, but you're not really. When we used to play with our other friends, we'd all be different parts of the galaxy.
I think they fixed that now, though.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so.
You actually have stuff you can do together now?
Yeah, I think they have. Yeah, because, I mean, they've got, like, stories in there and everything now.
Expeditions and
stuff. Well, the expeditions were cool. I did like doing those with the alien monsters and stuff. Those were cool.
There are lots of cool stuff, but will I ever install it again? I don't know.
Before this turns into the No Man's Sky, we should probably go ahead and wrap it up.
Yep. I forgot how we wrap these things up.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please come to our streams.
Oh, yeah. Can we thank coming to me, Jared, and the guys of Emerge for letting us use the song "Letting Go." I usually have my notes pulled up, but I don't have them. They are touring a whole bunch right now. Should we have a new song before too long? I keep saying that, but they should.
Well, they have the new song already. Alive again.
We already played it for the podcast. Anyway, yeah. more new stuff coming. Lots of tour dates. If you're in the Tennessee area, they're pretty local band. They've opened for some other bigger bands, so
hopefully it's opening up
some doors for them. Yeah, so it's been pretty cool. What else? Milad Markovic, aka Devious Pixel, for the art for this podcast. His art's on all the shirts and all the other stuff. He's pretty much the face of this podcast, whether he wants to be or not. Let's see. Go watch our cousin's YouTube channel, Zukovius, Zukovius, something like that. Yeah, he's playing through. He's been playing through a. Unless he gets shut down by Nintendo, he's been playing through a.
Oh yeah, Zelda.
A Zelda 1 mod. So I'd watched him play through Zelda 1 naturally, which he has the whole game memorized front to back. That was like a coast through. Now I'm watching him struggle through a mod that he don't know where to go. Has been pretty fun and interesting watching him killed all over the place. I think it's his first time playing a mod of any kind.
Yeah.
He heard about a mod for Zelda. It's been pretty cool. So go watch his stuff. He got a freaking so much content in the Patreon and all that stuff. He's got a ton of videos. Speaking of videos, I don't know if we mentioned it last episode, but
with all this talk of the Switch, I think it's a good time to talk about that.
Yeah, our buddy Clyde, who has
episode 120. He came
episode
back.
120. He came back. He has launched his new YouTube channel called Not Your Friend. Each series is going to focus on a specific company. The current ongoing one is Nintendo is Not Your Friend, which is right on topic for some of our other stuff of why things should be better and they're not. Watch his videos. You see how truly bad Nintendo is and how horribly they handle every aspect of their business besides just making money. Note on, obviously we're talking about that because, if you watch the newest episode, which is about the Nintendo Online and all its quote unquote features. Me and Blake appear in that episode.
We did some voice work.
We did our first little bit of professional voice acting, but me and Blake do appear in the new episode of that. So see if you can spot us in there. Shouldn't be too hard because he immediately gives us credit right after we're in it. But if you can catch us before that and go support him. I'm not sure where he's pivoting after Nintendo. But I'm sure whatever he goes with that channel, it'll be good. And he's a good guy. So, and we promised for him next time we have him on the podcast, it won't be about Final Fantasy VII. He said when we talked to him before, he's like, I could come off for a different game. I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you know,
you could, but are you going to?
Yeah,
we still got we can do a different game after the
Final Fantasy VII Part Three.
Part Three, yeah.
we'll have him on for some other game. We'll figure something out. Usually we thank Brian, but he's here, so I ain't gonna bother doing that. He knows what he's here for. Editing the podcast, making it sound a little bit better. I guess the hardest work he ever had was the time Blake forgot to turn his microphone on. That was the toughest challenge he's ever had, probably, for editing this podcast.
Oh, we didn't do a mic check before we started recording. Oh,
it's working.
Sounds good. That required the most YouTube videos for sure.
Anyway, that's all I got. Blake, I don't know if you really got anything, or Brian, you don't have to say anything here if you don't want to.
I work in the private sector, so nah.
Mike?
We do have a brother podcast called Suspension of Disbelief that spawned from this one, where me and our good buddy Steve Wedding, we talk about a movie, we semi-surprise one another, and we do not talk about it until we record. And so that way we get our first impressions of the movie, and we don't, each other's opinions doesn't sway the other one's opinion. It's pretty cool. Unlike this, when I was doing movies back in the day on this one, that is a full blown spoiler podcast. So we just talk about it in depth, talk about everything. It's super fun. Sometimes those episodes go for two or three, sometimes they go for about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. 3.5 hours. I can't convince Brian to edit that podcast. They're so long.
They're fun. We have a blast.
It is. It's good. It's good stuff. You have to like movies for it to stick in there, I guess. But yeah.
And I do have a self-published short story on Amazon called "They Come This Night." It is $1 unless you have Kindle Unlimited. It's free. Please go check that out. Rate that. Review that. I care about that the most.
It's actually good. I reviewed it yet, even as family? No, I have not, because I'm that kind of family. But I'll back you up. It's good.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. I think we don't talk about it too much too often. It's written in second person.
Second person.
He said he'll never do that. If you don't know what second person is, Google that first and then go buy his story. Well, he said it was hard enough that he'll never do it again.
Yeah. Well, it'll make you feel stupid when you first start reading it.
Well, the easiest thing about, if you want to understand what second person perspective is, if you think back on those Choose Your Own Adventures, those Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventures, those were written in second person.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go turn to page 91 to drown this little girl, or turn to page 100 and, you know, not drown the little girl? And you know, I'm going to drown the little girl.
Story plays, though. Not that.
Why did he immediately go to drown the little girl?
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes.
It's spooky season.
Yeah, I've never done it. It's
time of year.
It's Anthony. Guilty.
Oh.
It's an old reference.
It matters.
Like 20 years ago.
She was guilty.
All right, y'all. That's all we got for this one. Come to the Twitch streams. I usually do mention what we're playing. We're not quite sure. Yeah. We got two games in the queue. We sat down to a Capcom game, which we mentioned in passing here. I go ahead and say we sat down to one night of Exo Primal.
We deleted it.
That's a one night sitting. I don't know quickness. If we've ever is that I think the fastest we've deleted a game. I'm not sure.
Without beating it, yes.
Because
how many nights did we do Hunt Showdown?
I think the Hunt we played more than one night.
I think we played at least twice.
Yeah. So this might be the record for like one night, and we're like, everybody's like, I don't like it, you don't like it, you don't like it. All right, let's delete this thing.
And that's what we do with Exo Primal. Yeah, we're just like, mm-hmm.
Maybe it's going to break the streak for what Capcom for success. I don't know how big Exo Primal is. Anyway, we have two other games lined up. We'll just wait. I'll wait till we land on one before we talk about what we're doing next. We just came out of Dark Souls 2, so we're not going straight into another Dark Souls game. We got to put a little breathing room between Souls games. We will eventually be continuing our backwards trek through the franchise. We will eventually be going into Dark Souls 1, which I think Brian said you purchased a few weeks ago because the price was ridiculous.
Yes, and is it installed already? Yes, it is. I'm waiting on deck.
Have we been discussing what builds we're going to be doing for Dark Souls 1? Yes, we have. We've all just been deciding on what kind of character we're building while we're doing that. It's like me and Blake talking about when we're playing a Pokemon game right now. I'll save that for another podcast, but we're talking about that and also talking about what Pokemon we might use in the next Pokemon game we play. It's like, let me focus on the one we're working on right now. Stay focused. But anyway, that's it. Wrap this thing up. If you know, again, nobody ever writes in, they should. If you have any experience in the past with Mega Man Legends 1 or 2, or
Misadventures of Tron Bond,
which I think nobody in the world but Blake has played. I'll let him talk about that one, which is technically part of, we'll call it the Mega Man Legends trilogy, because it's technically part of that franchise in a way. If you have any thoughts or anything to share about that, any adventures you had from back in the day, a lot of people played that game back in the day. We loved it. I loved it. We'll say slightly more. My love did not stand the test of time for Mega Man Legends. It's really hard to play now. But we'll talk more about that in that upcoming episode. So with that said, we'll let everybody go. Thanks for listening.
And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night. It's your boy Blake. Night, night.